in a relish factory, right?
No.
So I basically stand by this conveyor belt and put jars on it all day, every day. So it's kind of interesting. You kind of have time to write things, but you have to repeat each line over and over and over again in your head so you remember it, because you don't have a pen and paper. So it's kind of chaotic. And really, really, really annoying. So, this is one I wrote at the reddish factory. I knew reddish, just literally plugged there. Okay. In my dreams, you are weightless, clad in wavering veils of white silk. Beneath lightning bubbles in your eyes, hyacinth hair static stand on end. Thunder is not but your rumbling tummy, but what do you hunger for? Clear, calm skies crystallized above golden country, where decisions do not decide. Where clairvoyance and clarity, the same, still survive. Where wary waves wane, the current yields only the fruit of the now. I am a driftwood on the shore. Where, stood contrapposto, hips twist and skin rips, spitting wings of an angel, you ascend through singing clouds. I watch from below with eyeless head and full hands. In my dreams, you are weightless.
Thanks, Arthur. I relished that. M-Winehan, please. Oh, Jesus. Sorry. I was taken aback by the formality of it. Sorry.
To the relish man, I do love that jalapeno relish.
I commend you.
So, one old poem and one very short new poem. This one's called But For a Fleeting Moment. I stare at those ruby red lips and salivate for the final time, unwittingly, unwillingly. You bid me good day, and as the dust parts with your suitcase, my world parts with me. The only warmth I feel inside now is the wonderful afterglow of this fine scotch. Yet I long for you, and you know as well as I do I'd pack this all in, this existential malaise, for one more fleeting moment with you. Those moments of heart flutters in the throes of original sin, love, passion. This is the monologue you'll never hear, my dear, the words that could have saved you. But no, I sit here on the balcony and watch you as you wheel away in slow motion. A change of heart, but as I race towards you, I hear a bang, and my whole world goes silent. I violently shake as I hold you one final time. The crimson trickle rolls down from your eyes and fuses with those elegant ruby red lips. As tears stroll down my face tonight, my dear, and your heart no longer beats, let it be known that mine shall beat eternally for you. The words I could have said, but for a fleeting moment. And the second one is called Snowflake, so I wrote it today. Our love is like a snowflake, and you're the angry sun, beating down on all we made until our time has come. My backbone's like a hard drive, recording all your sins, with all my valleys drying, our snowflake slowly thins. The steam is slowly rising, the clouds with open doors, our futures truly shrouded, as snowflakes fall once more.
Next up, we'll have Elaine, please.
I didn't really think I was going to do this today, so I wrote something impromptu on receipts, so hoping the reception of the receipts will go all right. And it's called Endless Nameless, which is actually able tracking the Grand album, so cool like that. The evangelist scrawls out, swiftlashed in white overalls. There were two of you, rippling beneath me, watching the sweat run off my back. A triad of snails lurking to my lower back, fuzz rises banal. Strike again, lover, harder, with less sincerity. I want to be the prettiest girl at your funeral. The last thing you see, crooked stones resting upon a pillar of filth. Gaze upon their handiwork. Cast iron bent about my torso, she declared. It was not her funeral to cry at. The ground-toothed dust hit my nostrils, burning. Cocaine for the poor man. I have measured my life in fagbots. My suicide at least will be honorable, Judge. Two thoughts he saw, the first, his father hitting the ground. The second, the earth hitting the coffin. Shall I compare thee to an autumn detritus? Shall I compare myself? The mirror is shattered, an embedded splinter of woe and realism. I have plucked the thorn and sucked the poison out with no avail. My soul is raped and the head sits. A polygamous specter who steps into me, black and obliterate of white. Fuck it all. Hope is only for fools, and there is no rest for the wicked, I have learned. Exit, pursued by a fear.
Exit pursued by a fear. Indeed. Thank you very much. Mighty. Hassan, please.
This is a bit of a long one, but I just keep adding to it, so it's called The Folk, The Endless Current. In this rolling thunder of a life, you sometimes beg to be in the crosshairs of the sniper that shoots from top of dog tags. Because only the self-centered can be schizophrenics. And the perfect woman is the one that doesn't need to speak, but the perfect man is the one that never stops. I recently did such and such and did this and that from him and her, and achieved so much, oh so much money. Life taken like a game of chess can be tiring and sometimes rewarding. But Monopoly, well, who's actually finished Monopoly? It's funny how we dismiss bankers as being terrible cheats at giving the fictitious opportunity you roll the millions up your sleeves. Plato had his magic ring, and I had my spontaneous murders. Schwarzschild had his event horizon, and I had the perfect non-death. I am a problem in the chaos, or a fixture in perfection. I am Atlas. Although everything is great, it is weightless in the void. I am a pathetic Looney Tune. I can't help but look down, because curiosity is a fall to the ground. We are all puppets and puppeteers, and we are slowly but surely becoming a better show. With our strings entangled via the internet and what have you. Last night I fucked my iPad with a fleshlight attachment and claimed that I was making love to you. Callio, my beloved porn star. And what is wrong with that? After all, you are a plastic woman. And here is me grinding this plastic sexual something. From place to place, I've seen the same people. Because we are all afloat, an endless current of dogma and traditionalism. And no one truly understands progressivism. And in the end, death take us all. Like Sid Barrett, we pluck the same string over and over and we say we have no regrets. But given a real chance, if the genie asks, will I take you back to your baby body? Your mind says yes, but your body says no. Because you are in a hurry, not to get it over with, but because grievance is the most potent expression of love. So where is the assassin that shoots his dog heads? Thank you.
I think that the best I wasn't reading.
Oh, I'm so lucky. You can't take things back that easily, dude. Simon, please.
This is part of a current series called, this one's called Survivor's Lament. It arises out of Coin Report Chapter 9, Father Brenat, who has been defrocked as a priest but hasn't yet been convicted in a criminal court for child abuse. Survivor's Lament. I am a mask. Remove one, there is another, until I no longer remember what is me underneath. Memories buried deep in subconscious lobes, channels I never wish to dredge, occasionally raised in the mind's turbulence. Tossing the conscious on stormy crests to sink back, leaving flotsam of a wrecked life. And then, unwanted, unexpected, I had to speak. To tell the tale my masks covered, my guilt, the evil channeled through me, my child perspective reframed. A churchman listened, confidential, private. My trust misplaced. Abused again, he warned my tormentors of what was yet to come. And as I looked for justice, telling my tale to the Gardaí, haltering, faltering in half-formed memory to make my voice heard, emerge from behind the mask. And others came, together we looked for justice, and the DPP received the statements of 11 survivors of the same paedophile. 3 decades of child abuse, we waited and we heard no action. And the church, they formed a canonical tribunal, morally certain of his guilt. They took away his robes, his mask, embodiment of God, and he appealed. Weeks and months, a second Christmas has passed, and Rome at last replied. We had been hung out to dry, no vindication, and some they say, you let him on, you had the strength, just want money, how could you? Have no shame, and we wait, masked to show our faces and hope, right and good. At last, after years, will the DPP listen? So children can once again be saved. Thank you.
Charles, please.
That Derek Mann. Derek Mann is now the leading poet in the country. I'm not reading something of my own. I thought this is very, very nice. From a fairly recent volume called Life on Earth, a series of arc notes. And this one is related to an Ulster writer, painter called Morris Wills. I think it's exceptionally good. North light on the snow light on the little bridge, where once we loitered during a previous age, in the quiet dusk of one more summer day, as the sun went down behind the Antrim hills and Scotland dimly shone across the water. Girls watched the boys go by, the boys, the girls, the livery sisters and the postman's daughter. Later we flirted with them in the Lynn's, at Lynn's Cafe. Wilkes never bothered with the picture play, with colour values and the fancy words. As for aesthetics, that was for birds. They slept in a yellow trailer at Shane's Cairn, where every morning he would paint the world. Hedges, fields, the sunlight on the river, the forest and the dunes. A still unspoiled paradise, we thought would last forever.
Beautiful. Maureen Rua, please. Roger Chop.
Thank you.
jelly that someone spat out. One of those gummy teeth from the pick and mix is how my 7-year-old babysitting ward might describe it, were she ever to be shown. And he's put loads of strawberry sauce in it. Wait. Why is it on the ground? Is it dirty or something? She asks, twitching bunny nose curious, but a wariness creeping into her eyes. Is it dirty? Is it dirty? Is it dirty, this unwanted, uneducated cervix, sliced off with a long past disposal scalpel? As dirty as these girls that lie on green plastic mats, chipped bathroom-tiled floors, or even the sunburnt earth, biting on rags to withstand the pain as they wait and are cleansed. Nicked and severed, trussed up like long-dead chickens, removing the parts that the supermarkets don't want you to see. Is it dirty, this tiny cervix, shuffling and struggling across the earth's hot plate, amassing with all the others to form a listing, staggering body of a girl? But how dirty this girl as she wanders the village. Holy water for her sins, half a bottle of hooch to fix her up. Keep wary of her children, for at night she fucks with hyenas. Listen to her moan, you know where she's been. Will she wander to the sun-leached city, concrete acacias coercing her to a bar's Harry Stew? Oh, how precious she is, croons the drunk at her shoulder, old enough to have conceived her, but dribbling over her sweet young bum. But can she disperse herself, plant each unwanted cervix in a warm pocket of earth, meld herself to a gentle sunshine, a light rainfall, a loving loam? Each Venus mouse thrusting through the surface to sing incessantly and swallow unsuspecting birds. Sparking, raging debates in a field full of voices, thundering through the countryside with a conflicted cacophony of sound. I stare back into the eyes of this 7-year-old that I am paid to look after, a mirror of my own 7-year-old self and so many others, and I speak candidly. No, I say, it's not dirty. Unless you choose to throw it away.
Grandma, good teacher in Harbour or Fad. So, well, there's a lot of names left, so we're going to have to just run up and down very quickly, you know, and say poems very fast. Mags.
So.
That was amazing poem over there. This one just arrived on the beach yesterday. I'm afraid Paul always says there's a song behind my poems, and I'm surrendering to my little songs at the moment. Won't claim to be a singer. So it's a composite of a thousand things I've heard over the last 30 years. And some people say, if this happens again, give me a brandy and port and let me alone. So I took out the euthanasia bits, but there's a hint of it. Give me a cup of poison, please erase me. I have no further interest to remain. Don't fiddle with my attire, don't invade me. I've nothing left for this world but disdain. For once I was a pretty thing, I danced with all the young beaux, the darling of the tennis club, with kitten heels and pussy bows. I held all their attention, fed them with manicured hands, drew admiring glances from the leader of the band. Now look at this dry prune, washed up and dehydrated, wrinkled, pale and crinkled, caricature lines are desiccated. My lady, there's a message. Please, can you listen to me? He's from the new admission. Wonders, does he know you to see? Story. Another pit. He swears you were once part of his circle in the 50s. His name is Captain Bunsen, but you called him Flirty Party. Quick, young lady, help me fetch my cosmetic case. I'll need a dash of lippy. He bade me come sit beside his place. I'll wear my new mauve twin set. Please help me clasp my string pearls. Rub a strawberry on my cheek. Flush them up and primp my curls. The lap comes to our door. It's her gentleman's assignation. Hello, my pixie darling. You haven't changed a bit. How well do I recall us doing our little tango? None other could glide for me quite like you. So let's sit once more a while. You will be my dear companion. Cheer up this lonely guy who once loved you so true. So the last bit is, never give up hoping for that last renewal. Your desired knees can prove to be undone. Don't act or sink too fast. Limiting beliefs are quite erosive. Euthanize that debt wish option. Make joy your new emotion. For once she was the pretty thing. She danced with all the young beaux. She was my one true darling. Can't believe I'll hold her close. She had all the attention. For she fed us with manicured hands. Drew admiring glances from this leader of the band. Ah, don't sip on cups of poison and finish with this in song. Soon. That's it. I'll make it up as well.
Thinking about a long poem or a short one, go for the short one. No, that's not a reference to anyone in particular, it's just in general, you know? I didn't say that. Kieran!
It's written.
Oh. Are you freezing? Good, good deal, relaxed. I read the first half of this last week, so sorry for him here, but we'll finish it up. It's called Warriors for the Road. Positively blind. And with about all the positivity the blind can muster, we carry on. With our arms raised by some unknown mediating force. For we don't have energy enough left to raise them ourselves. That's us, running marathons to keep up with conformity, when all that was needed was a short, sharp sprint of inventing. And just as the distance grows from the start, the distance grows from the end, and the curves and hurdles add to your load and reassure us that we are strong. We are strong enough to carry loads that we made for ourselves and take them on journeys leading nowhere further from somewhere than the nowhere in which we now exist. And the whips of this journey have made us strong, tough, like the hide of a horse too harshly lashed. And with our empathy, we feel for this horse, for we have looked deep into its eyes and seen our reflection. And the distance between our existing selves and our true selves cannot be gauged, for we cannot see over the mountains of material reliance that we have placed in between. And from our newest oppression, an oppressor that we have made for ourselves, in absence of the comfort of former oppression, freedom for the responsibility to think, act, and live for oneself, to fulfill ourselves, to engage in the supreme act of love. But it's harder to see that now. For we've numbed ourselves with the comforts of ease, which once gave relief to shifting eternities of oppression. And where we are now is a state of being in which oppression seeds from within, the inevitable side effect of the early incurrences of her life either in the mountainous plains or the flat hills of Poland, where she was constantly, where her upbringing was harsh, constantly condemned to self-doubt, a self-doubt which now acts as a barrier to her true self. Similar to our true selves, but entirely specific to her. The only state of being in which she can exist in complete freedom. At one with the world around, or whatever it is that we've called world. Where her productivity is complete and natural. Instinct guides her every waking hour, and sleep replenishes her instincts. The impulses that flow through her on a path of creativity and discovery which touches the fulfillment of human potential, and in doing so has a miraculously positive effect on the environment in which we live. We may remember that we once admired her strength, saw her, and reminded ourselves that we are warriors for the road. But memory deals with the past, and in the future that we will see will only be a perception of a place reached by the pure and perfect progress of living in the moment.
Is that the end of it, or is there another part?
Oh,
oh yeah, Sinead. Frankie Griffin, please.
This stems from watching ads on TV, and you wonder, BHI ads and the newest cars and all that, you wonder who they aimed at, because they're not aimed at me. This is called Explain. Water in your whiskey going to cost you, and it's another sympathy card for the deceased. We're falling off this earth while others hold pregnant wallets, swollen like a hungry child's belly. TV adverts display the latest fastest chariots. 110 horses dragging you to hell and back. The fucking thing will even park for you. And carry you to the office door. The HIA health insurance. They can whip your heart out, give you a remote, remove the shit that clogs you up, shove it back in, and you'll pump and tick forever. Money can't buy you love, but it can buy you a life. They'll even erase your brain while the poor they wait, they go insane. We're hanging on the devil's coattails, getting bashed about, touching fire. Misfortunate, misguided, blinded. But now I see, I'm the weekend millionaire, the chief executive of Disability Benefit. It's pissing rain outside and not a cent to spare. Let the battle commence. It's half time at the arena.
Frankie. Thank you. Alba, please.
Thank you very much. This is a kind of an attempt at flash fiction, but it reverted back to poetry. So, there I was, stood in the doorway of a crepuscular evening, smoking my own business, when a motley crew of five or six teens, not so much as accosted, but slithered around me to gather themselves in a huddle by the door jamb of the corner house bar on Coburg Street. Sorry, love. Sorry to be troubling you. You wouldn't have a light on you, would you please? I do, yeah, here you are, love. But she had nothing to light. None of them did. Do you want a smoke to go with it, I said. And she did, so I handed her the end of mine while I rolled another. Two of the girls, in attire more suited to the tropics than the bitter tongue of this evening, snuggled in by me, morphing in and out of the other's auric comfort. Sharing the shelter of one another's body, they coiled all serpentinian felinity, the reciprocal movements keeping them warm. Sorry, love, do you think we could use the toilet? Do you mind, like, please, love? I'm sure you can. It's not my toilet, like, but your man inside is sound. It's down the far end on the left. This was met with further ebullitions of gratitude and slurring murmurs of gentle, pleasing, companionable noises as the pair slid through the door and away to the domain of those needing a pit stop from life. I rolled another cigarette. They were all about 16. One fellow amongst them, and he was about to head off. Such an outpouring of considerations and blessings upon him and his journey you'd not see in the airport at Christmas. Full frontal, no holds barred hugs and orations were displayed as this young fella took to the hills of Cork, high and toasted, swathed in the bandages of love demonstrative. They resembled an ensemble of lovers, their bodies the vehicle for alchemy's daughters as they joyride through the high by the ways till burnout down some cul-de-sac not far from where they started. Subdued under silken veils of smokables and sanguine talk, melted beyond desire, the come hither concoctions of poppies into another reality where love is the drug and the promise of its flood drowns all but the strongest of swimmers. But heroin and its catch-all of catastrophe accumulates to discredit the concept of love and reduce it to a painkiller of the lowest vibration. But this evening the poppies are blooming inside the hearts of those desperate to inhabit love. I pass the end of my smoke to one of the celebrants and bid them good luck. I am washed with a wellspring of tidings and I turn to go in. Pulling out the door, I revolve around the tumbling toilet girls and feel the forcelessness of their passing. Good night, love, I say, and the door closes over to the echoes of thanks and love and good night, love. Inside, the air is almost yellow with warmth and social acceptance, and I go back to my seat near the fire to the black and the white of my pint.
Oh. Wow, I was swept away there. Cedric, please.
Well, this is a true story. Anyone? I'm not quite as direct. The sentence is passed in secrecy. Those who know are powerless, and the one in concern has to be guilty. The judge and the executioner are one, merciless. Because the culprit is known immortal, the penalty must be worse than death. So a tree is chosen, one not too tall. The knot is already made with the very rope that strung them both after the fall. One rises to undeserved height, as the other pull the thread of deception. The loop fastened on the neck forbids a fight, but it remains loose enough to fool perception that the lasting of the agony is pity. Eventually the air comes to mist, making the near-death experience naughty. So much that even for the damned innocent, something is amiss. Finally, death comes and stares, and the hung one stares back. His love from heart through veins still flares. He hasn't met his end, he knows. Every bit of him will keep struggling, for every relationship is an unspoken mutual bind of all. Fate must decide who is left hanging.
Thanks, Cedric. We'll have Norma, please.
It's a short one. Parting gift. Come in, you said, beckoning with your glimmering fisheye, and I forgot that I was bound by land and head, and jumping in discovered gills, life underwater. Side by side we darted round rocks, swished with the tide, dodged hooks, flicked our tails, played in pools of pebbles. Later when you were gone, I stood by the shore, remembering how I had swum, now I swim underwater.
Thank you, Norma, and remember tomorrow night in Cashman's. At what time again?
8 p.m.
Short story. 8 p.m. Short story. Danny McLaughlin. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And open mic. Yeah. And next up, we'll have Robert Galvin, please.
Fish hook. I could never let go of you. At the end of a fish hook, your love was bait. Desperate, I have to try and taste it. But in my haste, as I plunged the barbed hook in a hook into my chest, I realized my efforts were a waste. And like my tears, my blood trickled and dripped. As much as I wreathe and cause myself pain, as much as I self-inflict and self-loathe, I don't know if it's worth it. It hurts so much to let go, and it hurts just as much to cling on. Wriggling, writhing, crying, bleeding. My memories of you reel me in, unrequited love being the caster. But my own inaction, my inability to let go, let the pain continue. The liars told us Cupid's arrows were romantic and piercing. Truth is, and they are barbed. And to let go, you must rip a part of you with it. For me, that part is what's stopping me from being alone. Free, but so alone.
So, Nilak Bert Fogga are in Mike Uskel Danish. Only two left in the open mic. So, better to go on May Fogga wing. So, Anish, where do you find your stand, please?
Okay, two reasons for doing this one. First of all, Billy's insistence, well, not insistence, but suggested we do a short one, and the only musical reference I got tonight was from Elaine, and it was from Nirvana. So what I do is I construct poems using song titles, and this one is constructed using Nirvana song titles. Lithium. After Nirvana. Help me, here she comes, the spectre, the stain. Help me, I'm hungry to drain you, in his room, in bloom. Help me, ease the guilt, talk to me, rape me. Help me, breathe, endless, nameless, dumb aneurysms.
It's not as good as the Franklin Waters one, mate. Next up, we'll have Mikhail and Joe Hart.
Yes. Good evening. There's no poem tonight. Did anyone hear about Roman in Garden? Anyone?
What? Sorry.
Roman in Garden. He was. He's considered as one of the greatest philosophers of language. He was Polish, all right, but he was living and writing in Austria. He was writing in German, and his German works are unbelievable, but the Polish translations of his German works are even better. And then in 1998, I met his son, who was 86 back then. And he got to be the greatest translator of different stuff from different languages to Japanese. And from a conversation with his son, I got the idea that the best translations of Roman Ingarden's works are in Japanese. And maybe not always, and maybe not mostly, but sometimes it's all about the sound. So here's a Swedish song. Thank you. I will show it time.
So.